For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Edition of the Night Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Apologize for the bit of a content break, but given that I was away at a conference and there wasn't a whole lot going on, it was a dead period for hoops, there was no scrimmage for football, and there was no real recruiting serious updates that occurred. We just didn't want to force anything. But we have a bunch of stuff to catch up on today. Some portal guys that we want to touch on for the hoops program that it looks like Rutgers is showing interest in, including a confirmed visitor, date TBD, but we'll get into that. We'll go through what's happened in the last week in terms of the football practices for the spring. Again, not a whole lot Richie's able to say, but he'll give his general feelings and what the coaches said when they were interviewed. Then we also have a big-time wrestling commitment that has come today. Decommitment from Penn State to Rutgers, so that is obviously a huge deal. But first, the presenting sponsor of the Night Report podcast is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans, are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered, from t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories. Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive, one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. Let's get into some of these names, though. So we have a confirmed visitor for the Rutgers basketball program. We don't have a date, but Jordan Durkak, who previously we've spoken about several times from Merrimack University, he was the NEC Player of the Year. And he was also the NEC Defensive Player of the Year. He's a 6'5", 200-pound guard, originally from Colonius, who's a Jersey kid. He's going to be visiting Rutgers alongside Seton Hall. He's going to be visiting USC, and I think he's going to be visiting Miami, if I remember correctly. USC, Penn State, Miami. Or sorry, USC, Rutgers, Seton Hall, Penn State. All right, so what are you hearing about Jordan Durkak? It sounded like a couple weeks ago when we last spoke about him, he was a UConn lean, but I guess that's changed. What are you hearing on him?
Yeah, UConn's kind of changed up their whole recruiting mentality since, obviously, during the tournament, they didn't have a lot of room to work with or time to work with. But they were showing interest in a couple different guys, like Christ Escanado, who ended up at Providence a day or two ago, was rumored to be a UConn lean as well. They're just going to switch their whole recruiting method. So now Durkak is kind of starting to show interest in other schools. I was told, well, number one, he's going to visit Penn State this weekend. That's the only visit that's set in stone. From what I was told is it sounds like they're the heavy favorite. He wants playing time. I'd be a little shocked. I wouldn't be shocked if this Rutgers visit never happened, to be honest with you. He wants playing time and he wants to start. And he obviously wants a little NIL bag as well, because every transfer does. But I think it just makes more sense for him to go elsewhere. I think Seton Hall is promising some significant playing time. I shouldn't say I think. I know Seton Hall is promising some significant playing time. They have a wide open backcourt now with Davis gone. Kadari Richmond potentially leaving too. So they have like a wide, wide open backcourt. Jersey kid, so it makes sense for Seton Hall. But Penn State also makes sense because they have an open spot in their backcourt as well. Ace Baldwin is probably returning for them, but they still have another open spot there. And those two programs are selling them on a minutes and starting, or potentially starting, if not starting, because you have to earn it, blah, 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 all that other stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where this one ends up. I wouldn't be too mad if I was Rutgers fans, because, yeah, he had a good year. Yeah, he seems pretty solid, but his three-point shooting isn't the best in the world. All of his points are coming almost at the rim, if not right around the rim. And it's the NEC. Like, the NEC is like, that's low major. I know, I think I said it like a couple pods ago. I don't know what defines low major. That's it. That conference right there is low major. Like, Peter Kiss went from averaging 6 at Rutgers to 16 and then 25 at the NEC. Like, it's just not a good conference whatsoever. I don't think Durkak's going to end up at Rutgers. Maybe he'll visit still, but I don't even think I'd guarantee that either.
Yeah, that also wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he's a guy who was very ball dominant last year. And if he does end up taking a visit to Rutgers, I think it does show that he's willing to take a backseat to where he was last year from a shooting perspective and a role perspective. Because, I mean, let's be honest, at best, he's probably the third guard, probably more likely the fourth guard.
Yeah.
Certainly a guy you can't really turn down for that kind of role. But if he wants more than that, I don't think that that'd be a good fit at Rutgers. So if he does visit, I think that means he's okay with that kind of fit. So again, like Richie said, it sounds like he's a heavy Penn State lean, but depending on how things go this weekend, he's scheduled to make a visit to Rutgers, or he's stated that he's going to take a visit to Rutgers. So depends on how slow he wants to take things moving forward as well.
Yeah, I don't think he really creates much space on his shooting attempts too. So that plays a factor. You need guys that can create their own shot. Can he drive to the rim and probably get a bucket? Yeah, but like, is he gonna create that 2-3 foot gap that you need to get a shot off? No. So again, I wouldn't be too disappointed in this one. I know everyone's like NEC Player of the Year, and they see Conference Player of the Year, Defensive Conference Player of the Year. He would have fit, I think, really well in like Pikel's system like a couple years ago. I think this new age system that they're kind of going for, a little bit more fast paced, I don't think he fits as well. Especially when you have Ace and Dylan, who are going to be pretty ball dominant.
Yeah, definitely. The guys have to fit around what Ace and Dylan bring to the table. And it's half of it is playing style, and half of it is, you know, a buy-in to do what you know, we need for them to do, supporting the two superstars.
So we'll see.
All right. Let's move on to a few more names that we're hearing Rutgers are showing interest in. Let's start with Bashir Jihad. He is the big man at Ball State. He's listed at 6'9", 220 pounds. He is a Michigan kid. He has 1 year of eligibility. He spent the last 3 seasons at Ball State. This past year, he had truly a breakout season. Last year, he averaged 18.6 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, 1 block a game. He shot 45% from the floor on 13 attempts a game. He also shot 35% from beyond the arc on 4 attempts a game, and he's a 75% free throw shooter this past year. He's a bit undersized for a traditional big, but given the way that basketball is played today, I don't see that as an impediment for him. He's a guy who didn't take a ton of mid-range shots. He shot 52% at the rim, and like I said already, 35% from beyond the arc. What are you hearing about Bashir Jihad?
Yeah, another name Rutgers is interested in. Michigan guy, so it makes a lot of sense. Playing at Ball State, Midwest. So the connections are all there to smoke for the most part. Played in the MAC, similar to Tyson Acuff, who's committed. Now he's a really good shooter. Don't get me wrong. He's a really good offensive guy. He's got some outside skills. On offense, this guy is a giant mismatch for teams. I think the issue that concerns me a little bit is his defense. And I have all the numbers actually right here. It's number one is size. He doesn't have the weight to kind of compete in this Big Ten. Now, there's some teams that have made it work. Like, Illinois made it work with Coleman Hawkins at the center spot. Mm-hmm. But then you see they didn't go all the way. The one that did go all the way was a team that had the 7-foot-forward, 300-pound guy. So it's weird. The Big Ten's still stuck in, like, limbo a little bit. Some teams are starting to adapt to that new age center, whereas others are still going back to that old school center. He also struggles a little bit as a rim protector. I'm looking now. He graded out 59th percentile overall for defense, 57th overall in man-to-man defense, 49th at rim defense, at defending the rim. So it is tough. Like, I mean, but then you look at some other numbers, and I'm just throwing out analytics at this point, but you look and he's 87th percentile in post-up situations, but he's really poor in spot-up ISO situations. So it's like, when push comes to shove, I think he could fit. I think he'd be okay. But if you have a big center in this league next year, you're going to have issues down low. But as we saw, like, UConn kind of had their own big center, but he wasn't as big. But there's ways around it. Like, Illinois had a great season with Coleman Hawkins, and I think a Jihad guy could kind of fill in that Coleman Hawkins type center role. Is it going to work against all teams? No. Is it going to work against the majority? Probably. It'll be interesting to see where this one kind of plays out.
Yeah, as long as you're not going against a Donovan Kleene or a Zach Edey, you can kind of get away with it. But those freaks, you're not going to be able to. Even a guy like Cliff is probably like the smallest guy who can get away with defending a guy like Edey, just because he's so athletic. And you know, Cliff, he is probably I think he was listed at 230, but I think he probably was a little bit bigger than that. So
I agree. Yeah, but he's got a ton of different schools after him. He's just unique because his offensive skill set is just through the roof, man. Like at one point in January, he's still averaging 20 a game. I don't know what he finished with. I'm trying to find it, but he's got a ton of schools. Like Miami's offer him after him, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Missouri, Michigan. Michigan needs a lot of bodies though. So I mean, different story. But yeah, no, I mean, he's a ton of high majors. I think he's a high major player. I'd be intrigued to see where this one kind of goes.
Yep, definitely. Next on the list is Xavier Amos. He is another undersized big who played the MAC. He's spent his last 2 years at Northern Illinois, so he has 2 years of eligibility left. This past year, he had a breakout season, 13.8 points a game, 5.8 rebounds a game. He averaged 1.3 blocks a game. He shot 57% from the field, almost 39% from beyond the arc on four attempts a game. He shot 65% from free throw range. If you look at his shot chart, he shot 65% at the rim, and he didn't take a ton of mid-range shots. What are you hearing about Xavier Amos?
So Xavier Amos is interesting. He has a couple connections to the staff, or I shouldn't say to the staff specifically, to Rutgers. Jeremiah Williams senior year, his final game of high school, he played against Xavier Amos in his in high school out in Chicago, Illinois. So they played in the same league, same conference, whatever it is out there, I'm not really sure, in high school. So there's a Jeremiah Williams connection a little bit. And what was the – oh, yeah, his agent is the same agent as Tyson Acuff, who also is committed to Rutgers right now. Midwest guy, so a lot of stuff makes sense there. I'd keep an eye on it. I don't know if there's anything really to report more than that right now. But it is a new name. It is a new big man. A little undersized, so people are going to be pissy. And I think I would actually argue he's probably four more than anything.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, too, for the sole fact that, like, you brought in Martini, so now – are you going to try to get another four now? Like, I didn't think they'd actually go that route, but it seems like they might actually do that, especially when this is another good shooter. He can hit from outside. He can hit from just about anywhere. His free throw percentage is a little concerning at 64, but, I mean, you work with it. It's probably better than half of the team this past season. So, I mean, to be honest, it's been a good rebounder. So I think you let him and Martini just go 20 and 20 for minutes, and then if you can grab him, great. If not, you just move on to the next one. There's plenty of bodies. That's the other thing. People keep getting pissed. They're like, they're saying they're striking out here and there, and they're just not.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of people, me included, you know, we want to get to the end of this, but they're being diligent. They're taking their time with things because they need to make the right additions. They can't just add kids to add kids. It has to be a good fit. And if you look, like, they want to have these kids on campus too. Like, if you notice, Martini got announced by the staff, but, you know, Tyson Acuff hasn't, and they're waiting for him to visit before they, you know, have him sign paperwork because they need to see how he fits around the team. He's fully committed, but the staff really likes to get these kids on campus and get to know them. So I think this weekend could be the start of visits. I don't know if that's the case or not, but
yeah, I know Acuff's supposed to visit soon. I don't know if it's set for this weekend. I'll probably find out more tonight, tomorrow, but it wouldn't shock me to see him on campus like ASAP just to get this over and done with.
Yep. The last guy we have on our list here of guys Rutgers are showing interested in is Cason Pryor. So this is a kid who's had quite the journey. His dad's a basketball coach, so he's kind of moved around a lot. And sometimes when you see kids move around a lot, it's a bit of a red flag, like an AJ Store type who literally has been at seven different schools in the last 7 years. Kaysen, he started his career at Boise State. He didn't play a lot. He went to Northwest Florida State College. It was JUCO. He had a really good season. He was one of the top players in JUCO that year, and he ended up at South Florida. And at South Florida this past year, he was a really good player on a really good team, a really good South Florida team. They didn't make the tournament, but I think they went 25-8 on the season. He averaged 13 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, shot 45% from the field. He shot 35% from three on 3.3 attempts per game, 82% from the line. He averaged almost a block a game. And he's also 6'10", 210. So he's a bit of like a stretch big, but he would be offensively by far our best big next year, in my opinion. What are you hearing about Kaysen Pryor?
Yeah, so there's definitely interest in him. Chicago, Illinois native, knows him and Jeremiah Williams know each other. But he played in a high school I can't remember the name of in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And you'll see the small connection right there. So it's definitely interesting, definitely a name to keep an eye on. I believe he played, if I'm reading this correct, he played for Young and Reckless AAU, who I can't remember. We mentioned on this podcast, and I can't remember, but I thought it was Tyson Acuff's AAU. I'm trying to find it right now, but regardless, played in Michigan. Another guy also played in Michigan, Tyson Acuff. So there's a ton of connections here. I'd be intrigued to see if they can get him on campus or not. I know he has quite a few different offers. He's the modern big man you want. He's the more polished offensive version of Jihad. I think he's does everything you really want out of that big man spot. Now he also does some funny things too. I'm going to see if I can pull this up real quick. Who tweeted it? I sent it to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can pull up this tweet. This is funny. So he hasn't done this just once, mind you. I'm going to preface by saying that. Like, he's done this a couple times since attending USF. Where is this? There we go. Look at this. Like, this is ridiculous.
Dodgeball like, move. Jeez.
And this isn't the only time he's done it. Like, he's done it before, too. Like, and he did it in the last game of the NIT this season. Like, if you're going to do that on the court, I'm all for it. Let's do it. Let's see what you could do. But yeah, no, he seems like a really good player. I like his skill set. I watched his tape today on YouTube, and he just seems like a player I'd definitely be interested if I was Rutgers. And another offensive dude. They want offense. It's the name of the game now. I know everyone's like, hey, like, look, Dirk Heck plays really good defense, but they need guys that can shoot. They need guys that can play offense. That's it. That's the name of the game. You saw it in the NCAA tournament. I'm intrigued to see how this one kind of plays out.
Yep, same. But those are that's the kind of the full list of names that we've got as of right now. I'm sure more will pop up, but those are the main ones to kind of focus on. Anything else hoops related before we move on to some football?
No, not really. The only two things would be not even two things, one thing. They want a shooter, I'm told, and they want a big man. And that's really it. Now there's a third spot, technically. I don't know where that's really going to fit in. But it could just be a random body at the end of the day and just find another guy. Like, this is where an Austin Williams would come into play as the 13th guy, not your 7th guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of explains all of last season. But, yeah, just kind of waiting and seeing to see what happens. I expect we'll probably have some info on visitors soon. Like I said, probably in the next day or two, so we'll just keep an eye on that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Interesting. So, yeah, stay tuned to the board. Stay tuned to your podcast feeds because we will have more on that situation when it pulls up. So, in the last roughly week, Rutgers has had 3 or 4 practices for the football team. They had a few players and coaches speak. anything that either Scott Pallone or Mark Orfi or any of the players that you guys interviewed said that you want to kind of bring up that was noteworthy?
I'd say I'll still talk about Orfi first just because that was today. Orfi just talked a lot about Max Melton and his future. He thinks he's going to be in the league for a long time. It's essentially the same thing we kind of heard for a while now. Everyone hypes up Max, but he went out of his way to hype up Max. I did ask him about the extension because that's 2 years in a row with an extension. You got to word it carefully. You don't want to like annoy anyone. So you just say like, I didn't say, hey, who are the schools that were after you? I can tell you right now who the schools were after you. But Miami was one of them. Ole Miss was one of them. Like, I'll just throw it on here, I guess. But it was more so like what made you stay at Rutgers? Because I find it intriguing for the sole fact that he's not a Jersey guy. Never been like coaching in New Jersey, but he just went on the rave about Schiano and coaching under him and coaching under a defensive head coach and how much that makes such a difference to him and just recruiting in general, how easy it is when you stay at one place too. He kind of threw a little shade towards one of his old schools. I can't say which one because I don't know technically, but he said he's like, yeah, they don't like it's not like that around those other schools I've been at. Like this is a family. This is that. Like all the good things that you want to hear him say, but he sounded like he actually meant it. That was good. They talked about Eric Rogers. We actually talked to Eric Rogers, who a little bit on the quieter side, but very insightful when it comes to the DB room. He's one of the veteran guys now, so that was intriguing. I talked to Kobe Asamoah too today. He's technically a veteran now because he's a third year dude. And I said that to him. He was a little shocked. I thought that was, like, his reaction was like, oh, shit, like, I am a veteran now. And I'm like, yeah, yes, you are. He raved about Flaherty the past 2 years. So that was interesting. I'll have more on that interview soon. That'll be on the site probably tomorrow, or next day. And Coach Fallone. Coach Fallone raved a little bit about, I shouldn't say a little bit, quite a bit about Kenny Fletcher. Kenny Fletcher is going to play some serious snaps this year. We'll see how many if he wins the job, but I think he's carved himself out a pretty good role at tight end, so keep an eye on that.
Love to hear it. It's interesting that a guy who just transitioned to tight end for the bowl game is already, you know, climbed up that depth chart the way he has. One news item that just broke. Yeah, the one news item that just broke figures we just start talking about this guy and
where'd he commit to?
He ends up elsewhere. So Bashir Jihad just committed to Arizona State and Bobby Hurley. Okay. So yeah,
there we go.
Cross that one off the list. He is not coming to Rutgers. But let's talk about this scrimmage that'll be upcoming on Saturday. It's the first scrimmage of the spring. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to see out of the scrimmage? I know at least in the past, the first one has been just an all-day affair. Do you expect the scrimmage to kind of be the same this year?
Yeah, it's there's a reason that we get lunch for this. we get lunch provided. We're there for quite some time. It'll be interesting. I really want to see how the quarterbacks fare. Yeah, we're going to say fair. That was the right word.
Yeah.
We're going to see how the quarterbacks fare. See who kind of can elevate themselves above the competition. That's another thing Orfi said too. Because there is competition in that cornerback room. Now, I think it's pretty clear that Longerbeam is the top dude. I think it's pretty clear Eric Rogers is one of the top dudes, too. After that, it's really a guessing game. You could say, like, Mascala, like, there's been a lot of hype about. Al-Shadi Salam played some snaps in a pinstripe bowl. How is he developing there? So it's a little bit different from practice because we actually get to see a legitimate game format. And that's where guys are either going to put up or shut up. That's where you guys are going to make their strides, whether it be running away with the job or they'll struggle and they'll just be in the same spot they were a week ago at practice where they're still competing with the backup or the player A and player B. It's going to be interesting. So quarterback, definitely. Wide receiver, that third wide receiver spot really intrigues me because I think Dymir Miller has one locked up, if I had to guess. You don't bring in a guy with like 1,400 yards and not say he's not a starter. Christian Dremel, I mean, certified starter last year, best receiver last year. That other receiver spot's going to be really interesting. And there's a ton of names there, too. It's all offense because the defense, we kind of know what they're doing already. Minus that, like, cornerback three, which is, like, up for grabs, it seems like. But Yeah, it's all offense. Like offensive line, I want to see what happens there. I want to see if anyone can kind of grab one of those jobs. But yeah, I'd say probably quarterback number one first and foremost. And I just want to see if either Ethan or Gavin can just walk away with this one.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I think each fan wishes they could just be a fly on the wall to see how the quarterbacks look. Oh, and yeah. That's going to be the talk all off season.
Yeah,
it's going to be the talk probably until game one because I don't know when they're going to announce a guy if they do. So, yeah, I would pay to just kind of watch how they look.
Yeah,
not all of us can. Anything else football related before we kind of hit on a news item we don't normally talk about? Wrestling recruiting.
Football now Saturday. Maybe we'll try to sneak another podcast in somewhere. This weekend, maybe talk a little bit about what Greg says post scrimmage, because that's all the info you're getting out of me. It's whatever Greg says.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, let's move on to some wrestling recruiting. So recently, I think Nick Costco tweeted out the list of guys that are committed to Rutgers and their national ranking at their weight class. A lot of really highly ranked guys. Scott Goodale ended up quote tweeting it and said, "And we might not be done yet," with eyes emoji. And then a wrestling recruit by the name of Mason Gibson quote tweeted Goodale's quote tweet with more eyes. And sure enough, he decommitted today from Penn State and committed to Rutgers. So what is Rutgers getting in Mason Gibson? Tell us a little bit about him. I think you're pretty uniquely qualified to talk about him being, you know, a former Penn State commit.
Well, it's technically not official to Rutgers yet. Okay. But, I mean, do the math. It's pretty much going to happen based on Steve Mitich tweeting out like four different like GIFs and videos. It's like, oh, my God. Like, really tipping your hand here quite a bit. But I guess when you you know you got him, you got him. But, yeah, no, he's interesting. He's number three in 126 rankings, I think. Hold up a second. Yeah, number three in the 126-pound rankings. I think he's dropped a little bit since I last updated that. But, yeah, committed to Penn State in late 2022. Was going to join his brother, Eric, who's currently at Penn State, who wrestled at Cornell originally. But then transferred to Penn State. So I think he's in his third year. I forget. But yeah, after announcing his commitment, like, Gibson said that like his top three were Penn State, Ohio State, and Cornell. So the fact that he's considering or like heavily gonna more than likely going to end up at Rutgers is huge. This is a big lightweight for Rutgers. He had a fourth place finish at, Wrestling Championships in Pennsylvania, where he dropped a fourth place match to Brant Harrer. He then lost the third place match to Charlie Robeson 4-2. So he's had his struggles a little bit this year, but it sounds like some of that might have been due to injury as well. But for Rutgers to potentially get one of these big names like this is huge, because you're building a solid class, as you saw, as Costco tweeted. Like, there's a bunch of good names. Aiden Smith's number 2 at 113. Tahir Perkins, number 12. Like, Connor Herrera is number 4 at 157. Number 7 at 157, Andrew Barbosa. Like, there's a lot of dudes in this class for Rutgers. Now, is it going to bring them to the next step? We'll have to wait and see how they develop, and that's basically it. But this is a very good grab if it ends up happening. I mean, like, wink, wink.
Yeah, it seems like there's a good chance of it happening based on how things are looking. Would be a good pickup. I know he's had dealt with some injuries, but, you know, anytime you can take a commitment from Penn State in wrestling, you're probably doing something right. So,
yeah, no, for sure.
So that's all I got for today. A bit of a shorter episode. Anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out of here?
No, it's been a while. Shout out to all you guys that are tweeting at us. Appreciate that. Where are we at in YouTube subscribers? Because we said 4,000, we would do this little giveaway. We got to be pretty damn close, I would think. We're at 3,946. We've had 100 over the last 28 days. So that's how the algorithm works. So 54 more. I had to do math there. That hurt for a second. 54 more. And we will be doing this giant extravaganza giveaway thing. So spring games in, 2 weeks? So let's try to get it done before that. Hopefully we can. I know a lot of you have already subscribed and have done the reviews, which we also appreciate. So if you have some time today, hit the subscribe button. It's free. It's easy. It's simple. And then give us a review too while you're at it. Or tell us we suck. I don't know.
Nah, don't tell us we suck. if you got nothing good to say, don't say it. But again, we appreciate everybody who has rated, reviewed, subscribed, all the above. But for me and Richie, this is another edition of the Nerdcore Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.